John chapter 6, verse 15. Hold fast to your belief. We live in an age and time where the faith of the believers has never come under this kind of onslaught. As far as church history has revealed to us. For we live in a world that is like a global village. It has shrunk so much, so fast, that where 30, 40 years ago, where something that may happen in America will take about a week or so to arrive, now we can see it, we can read it, we know about it, within a few seconds, by the click of a mouse, we are given information that happened thousands of kilometers away from us. Hold fast to our belief. The belief that the Bible speaks of is our objective faith, the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, your faith, my faith, the Word of God. And this faith has come under constant attack since day one. Satan has always attacked the faith of the believers. Either he attacks the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the church itself, or the leaders of the church, or the members of the church. He will never, never stop. The scary part is that he knows that his time is running out. The days whereby he can continue his evil and his wickedness are numbered. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing very near. And therefore, the attack has come in greater intensity and from many, many different angles. For the young people, it will be through the bright lights and the attractions of the world. And for many of the adults, it will be through the evening years, a deep sense of insecurity perhaps, because we have been told that you need to know how many figures in your bank account before you can maintain your present lifestyle. And so we have been holding back our tithe and offering instead of living by faith. We have been living by the words of men. We are afraid. We are frightened. Frightened by the uncertainties of this life, and our anchor has ceased to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the theological realm, the Word of God has come under incessant attack, nonstop, right from the Garden of Eden. Yea, hath God said, you study church history, that this question on the Word of God has never stopped. In the 19th century, the greatest attack would be through textual criticism. The evil devised by German rationalists, people who do not see the Word of God as inerrant, as infallible, as inspired. And so they will cut up the Word of God like little pieces of jigsaw puzzle. Like any other literature, like the works of Shakespeare or the works of any other men. And today, we have professing Christians also cutting up the Word of God in the name of the defense of the Word of God, in the name of truth. We are telling you the truth that the Bible has mistakes, they claim. Where is the foundation of this truth? The wisdom and the arrogance of men. For the simple fact is that if anyone dare to say that the Bible has mistakes, the underlying assumption is that they claim to know the truth. They claim to know the perfect Bible, and that's how they can identify for us where the mistakes are. That's arrogance. And how do they know if they are us? They just simply say, well, I just know. That's exactly what one theologian said in his article in the defense of the Bible with mistakes. Hold fast to your belief. No one can hold fast your belief for you. We can preach, we can write, but it boils down to each and every individual believer. You have to hold fast your faith, yourself, with God's help. It is in the inside, the inner heart, the inner conviction. All sorts of lies will be out there, but you have to know the truth. The Bible promises us that the truth will set us free. Free from bondage, free from fear. But what are the conditions that God has given to us that will help us hold fast to this belief? In verses 15 to 29 in John chapter 6, we shall learn three important truths. Three things that we must not do. If we do not do these things, then perhaps we will be able to hold fast to our belief. The first is found in verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. They had just experienced the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. The Lord Jesus Christ had just used a simple lunch of a little boy made up of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes to demonstrate that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the living God. And then the Lord Jesus realized that they wanted to make him king. So the first thing we have to bear in mind that we must not do is do not dictate to God. You see, they wanted a temporal king, a temporal sovereign, someone who will come and feed them, someone who will come and cater to all their carnal, physical, worldly, fleshly needs. And so what do they want to make Jesus king for? To deliver them from the yoke of the Roman Empire, the Caesars that sit in the capital city called Rome. They wanted a king like the kings of the earth who will ride on a horse, who will use worldly means, who will use sinful means to deliver Israel so that Israel may enjoy sovereignty all over again. So that Israel may be rich, so that Israel may have the heyday as it was in the days of King David and Solomon, where kings and queens would come and listen to the wisdom of Solomon. They longed for those times, and so they wanted to make the Lord Jesus Christ king, take him by force. They want to force him to do it. Whether you like it or not, we are going to get you and we're going to crown you as king and we want you to deliver us and raise Israel back to a time of great prominence, another superpower like the Romans, and start to conquer Syria, Assyria, Babylon, push the Roman Empire back to Rome. But the Lord Jesus Christ departed again to a mountain himself alone. Because in verse 3 of chapter 6, that's where Jesus went. He went into the mountain. People followed him. He couldn't be alone. And then the disciples said that it's evening time and the people are hungry. He couldn't be alone. After the miracle, they wanted to make him king, but he wanted to be alone. He didn't want to be dictated by sinful men. He refused to allow himself to be put into a mold, the framework devised by men. Will the Lord Jesus Christ be king? He is the King of Kings. Will he ride on a conquering horse one day to rule the earth? Yes, he will. But it must be in accordance to God's way, God's timing. That second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he will come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, read Revelation 19, that must wait, because that event must be preceded by his first coming. And the first coming will not be like a conquering Messiah, but the first coming must be that of a suffering Messiah. And that's what Jesus meant, for him had God the Father sealed. Verse 27, the last part. God himself has sealed, put his stamp of approval on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he must go the way of the cross before he can come as a conquering. The problem is, that you and I will not be there. You and I cannot be there because our sins have not been dealt with. No one has died for our sins yet. So the Lord Jesus Christ must die for our sins first so that he can conquer death. And when death is defeated because our sins have been forgiven, then when the Lord Jesus Christ rides down from heaven's glory, all the millions of saints with a glorified body on white horses will accompany the Lord Jesus Christ. That cannot happen until the Lord Jesus Christ defeats death at Calvary for you and for me. That is God's way. That is God's system. But we have our own carnal way. Do not dictate to God. If we want to hold fast our faith, we cannot demand from God that God must do what we want. That God must kowtow to my needs, my wants, and whatever I pray, God must answer. If he does not answer me, I will deny him, I will put him aside, I will reject him. We cannot do that with God. God is not a Santa Claus, a figment of man's imagination that we can wish him away. We cannot wish God away. God will always be God, whether you and I believe in him or not. Do not dictate to God. We have people, pastors, seminary professors, teaching their members, their students, that if you want the gift of tongue speaking, you fast and pray. You fast and pray, and God's arm will be so painfully twisted by you that he will give it to you. And so many of them sincerely listen to these false teachers and prophets that they really pray and then they will fast. They will fast and they will starve themselves until those utter nonsense comes out of their mouth. And then when it comes out, yeah, I have now the gift of tongues. Cannot dictate to God. Where in the Bible did God promise us that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never fall sick. You will never be poor. You will not find the Bible teaching us the health and the wealth gospel. Cannot dictate to God. Study the lives of God's people from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and you'll find that there are many, many of God's servants who were very poor. The Apostle Paul, for example, what did he have at the end of life's journey? Absolutely nothing. All of us were richer than him. He did not even have an outer garment to keep himself warm in the dark, damp, dirty dungeon of Rome. He had to write to Timothy in this final epistle, please come quickly, bring my outer garment and bring a parchment, bring a Bible for him. He had absolutely nothing. No home, no family, no bank account, no wardrobe, didn't even have his parchment, his beloved word of God with him. He asked Timothy, come quickly, give me the word, bring the word. Did Timothy arrive with the word of God? We do not know. Was he rich? He was the richest man on planet Earth, for his treasures are all in heaven. Can any one of us dare to say that we are richer than the Apostle Paul? From man's standard, he was as poor as a church mouse, a beggar. But from God's standard, he was wealthy, for he gave his life to the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do not dictate to God, dearly beloved. If you and I want to hold fast our faith, we cannot demand from God by our prayer that God must give my children A's, that God must do this, God must do that. Our desire must always be to change our will to fit God's will, not to change God's will to fit our will in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is always done in heaven. For God's will is always done in heaven. It is only on earth where we have rebellion, where we have sinners who are not born again, and up at times even genuine believers who lived wayward lives that will bring pain and shame to the name of Christ. These are the ones who would not want the will of the Father to be done on earth as it is always done in heaven. Do not dictate to God. Do you want to hold fast to your faith? It must be on God's terms. It must be based upon God's word. What does God say concerning faith? What does God say? Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus promised us, you will be saved. And based upon this confession and this testimony, Jesus has given to us his promise that no one can take you out of the Father's hand. The sovereign, all-powerful hand of God. No one can take a genuine believer from the Father's hand. The question is, are we genuine believers or are we fakes, hypocrites? Only have an appearance of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We talk the talk of Christians, we smile like a Christian, we cut our hair like a Christian, we dress like a Christian, we use the King James Bible like a fundamentalist Christian, we do everything like a Christian, we even serve in the church like a Christian, we take the Lord's Supper like a Christian, we baptize like a Christian, we do everything like a Christian, but we are not a Christian. Are there such people? Definitely. Because the warnings are given to us in Matthew 7:21. Many will say to me on that day, not some, not few, many, Jesus warns, right at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. He made that very, very clear and frightful warning. Many will say to me in that day, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied that is preached in thy name? Is that not like a Christian? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, in thy name have cast out devils. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, in thy name we have done many wonderful works, works that are filled with wonders, that is miracle, miraculous works. Jesus says, I profess unto you, I never knew you. I have never at any time acknowledged you as my son, as my daughter. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Everyone, get out of my sight, Jesus says. Hold fast to your faith. Hold fast to your belief, Jesus says. Do not dictate to God. Have we dictated to God and give God certain terms when we receive him as our Lord and Savior? Has it been an unconditional surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the only thing that can save us, that Jesus says, is that we realize that we are sinners. We realize that there is no one who can save us other than the Lord Jesus Christ who died. We do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because we want to be healed. We do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because we want to be rich. We do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not even because we want to go to heaven. That's not a good enough reason. The only reason is when we truly believe that we are sinners, sinners that are bound for hell, that without a Savior, we will all end up in hell and ultimately the lake of fire. We need the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the only Savior, the only Son of God, the only begotten Son of God that the Lord God the Father sent to die for your sins and my sins. Is that our belief? No condition. Unconditional surrender. Do not dictate to God. If we have certain conditions with God, and when these conditions are not met, you will be shaken. You will give up your faith. You will backslide. You will be wayward. You have not been born again, perhaps. Do not dictate to God. Verse 16 to 21. Do not be afraid. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of the great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, that's about 3.3 to 5 kilometers, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now this account has a couple of parallel passages. One of the parallel passages is found in Matthew 14, where we are given additional information regarding this incident. Matthew 14, verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. That means the wee hours of the morning. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So in Matthew 14, we are given a little bit more information. So what was it that caused them to be afraid? It is not given to us in detail in John 6, but it is given to us in Matthew 14 as well as in Mark 6, parallel accounts. It was because of the wind, the tossing and the turning of the little ship that they were in, brought about by the storm, the wind, the waves. The Sea of Galilee was turning this little boat of theirs into a toy boat. And when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ walking toward them, they became fearful and frightened. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who put them in the ship. The Lord Jesus Christ was the one who told them to go ahead of him. Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ did not know about your life and my life? The Lord Jesus Christ has saved us. And then after that, do you think that he went back to his bedroom and gone to sleep? He continues to care for us. He fed little sparrows that are not even worth a daily man's wage. And the Bible said that your heavenly Father, that's the Christian's Father, would feed these little sparrows. How much more would he not feed his son and his daughter? You and me. Do you think God does not know when he put us in the ship of life and sent us along life's journey, heading to the other end? You think the Lord Jesus Christ has gone somewhere and gone to sleep, that he doesn't know about the waves and the tossing and the turning that we face in our lives, the difficulties in our lives? Do not be afraid, O ye of little faith. It's not that they did not have genuine faith. The disciples were truly born again. The only one in the boat who was not born again was Judas Iscariot. But all the others, they did have genuine faith. And so they became afraid because their eyes were not on the Lord Jesus Christ. The eyes were on the circumstances of the world. They look at the world around them and they see the powers that reside in all these wicked men. And they became frightened. They saw the powers of the wind and the waves and they began to doubt the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when Peter was walking on water himself. And when the moment he saw the wind and the waves, he became frightened and he started to sink like us. Started to sink, Not so much in the waves and the waters of the Sea of Galilee, but in the waves and the waters of the Sea of Despondency. We indulge in self-pity. We indulge in periods of mourning and perhaps stress and distress. And we cry to the Lord, Lord, where are you when I need you? Why must all these happen to me? Why can't my life be a life just filled with roses and no thorns? Why must I experience this fear, the fear of the loss of health, the fear of being struck down by cancer, the fear of no job, the fear of no one looking after my wife and my children if I die, the fear of this, the fear of the future? Men are so good in planting the seeds of fear into our hearts. And we allow that to happen. That's the saddest part. Nothing against financial planners. If you're a financial planner, please plan all you want. But be very careful that we do not put our trust and our faith in the planning of men, only in the planning of God. What God has given to us in the Bible. These are all His plans for His children. Do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that if you seek God's kingdom first, all these things will be added unto you, your food and your clothing? Do you believe that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. When we bring up our children, make sure that our focus is on their spiritual well-being. And when our children are godly sons and daughters, do we realize that all the other areas of their lives will fall into place? Their studies will fall into place naturally. When they are faced with all the peer pressures of the world, they will know how to react and respond. When they face all the trials and the vicissitudes of this life, they will know how to react and respond according to God's word, because you and I have brought up men and women after God's own heart, children who love the Lord, children who know the Lord Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, if we direct them to trust in the world, to trust in their own experience, in their own IQ, in their own abilities, and not on God's abilities, when they begin to crumble, when they begin to feel weak, when they are overwhelmed by the circumstances of life, and we all know how there will be circumstances of life that are beyond us. Because there are so many things in life that are beyond our control. You can't control your health, no matter how many pills you pop in, you cannot control your health. You can't control the days of your children's life on earth. You can't control the days of your own life on earth. You can't even control the economy of the world. You may be the richest man in Singapore, but you cannot control the economy of the world. You may even be the richest man in the whole world. You cannot control the economy of the world. This economy of the world, based upon man's perspective, they are all in the hands of men. Stocks and shares. Men and women buy all these paper wealth. And when they feel that it is no good, I'd better sell. And once everybody starts selling, the price will drop. And everybody starts buying, the price will go up. These are all riches made up of thin air. There's no real riches. None at all. People think that Enron would be something like the Titanic, an unsinkable ship. It sank. By selling all these shares in the evening years, they would have a nice net ache to retire on. They lost everything. What can man control? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. And yet, we still want to plan and trust the words of men rather than the words of God. And we become frightened. Little things will make us cringe and fear and doubt. And then our faith is shaken. And holding fast to our faith becomes something like that of hands that have very weak fingers. We cannot seem to hold on. It is as if it is holding on to the thinnest thread, about to collapse. Do you feel this way? Then do not be afraid, because you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, as your anchor, as your protector, as your sustainer, as your provider. Know the Lord Jesus Christ, love Him and obey Him and follow Him. And the only way to do that is to study God's Word. The only way that you can know your boyfriend or your girlfriend is to communicate, is to call one another, is to talk to one another. That's why when a boy and a girl, they are in love, after they have gone out on a date in the evening, they send the girlfriend home and the guy go home. The first thing they do when he gets home is to what? Pick up the phone and to talk again for another hour. What do they have to talk for so long? They have just started talking and talking for the whole evening. And then after they left just a couple of minutes ago, and then now when they come back home to talk again. And then before they put down, good night, darling, I love you, you love me, see you tomorrow. And then they see you again tomorrow, and they do the same thing again because they are in love. They need to know one another. What they feel must be based upon the other person's revelation. You must know the other person. You talk and you talk and you talk. And once we get married, things begin to change. Husbands do not talk to wives, wives do not talk to husbands, and before you know it, both of them are strangers. Because we change, don't we? And so we have to keep on communicating, keep on finding out the other person. And when husbands and wives, when they pray together, when they share together, that's how they continue to communicate and know one another before God's throne of grace. And so their marriage, their love for one another continue to grow and burn strong. Because they continue to know one another. The husbands know the wives after 20 years, 30 years of marriage because they do things together, they communicate. Same with the Word of God. You will know the Word of God by studying the Word of God, not just by prayer. Prayer, God will know what your hearts are, what you want. Of course, God knows everything that you need even before you ask, but when you pray, you are presenting to God what you want. But when are we going to be still and be quiet to listen to what God is saying? That's the Word of God. And when you know the Word of God, you will know God. And when you know your Father more, you will know God's Son more. You will know God's Holy Spirit more. You will know more about yourself. You will know more about God. And the more you know Him, the easier it is to trust Him. The easier it is not to be afraid because you know Him. When they look at the Lord Jesus Christ, they still see a rabbi. They did not see the Son of God. It was only after that, remember, He must be the Son of God because even the wind and the waves are afraid of Him. He protected them. He watched over them. Now remember, this was immediately after God fed the 5,000. They saw that miracle. You see how shaky the faith of the believers were when they did not know the Savior? Because the same evening, this was early in the morning, the same day. This was the next day, but the early hours of the day, within the same 24-hour period, as it were. They were afraid again. The moment we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, or if our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing but just John 3:16. After so many years as a Christian, it's still John 3:16. You have a big, big problem. Very serious problem. The problem is that you might not be born again in the first place. Or the second problem is that you have been a stunted Christian, like a midget. You may grow in years physically, your hair may drop and may turn white. But as far as God is concerned, you are still a babe in Christ. Remember, maturity in the faith does not come automatically with maturity of age. You have to put in the effort. You have to eat, drink, feed yourself with the Word of God because this is the milk and the meat of our soul. If you do not study the Word of God, you are a spiritual midget. You may be an old man in your evening years of life, but as far as God's eyes are concerned, you are still a babe in Christ. 20, 30 years as a Christian, repeated 20, 30 times, that's all. You have not grown. And that's why you're afraid. Afraid of dying? Do you know the biblical concept of death for the Christian? If you know, you should not be afraid. Afraid that no one will look after your wife and your children. If they are God's children, God the Father will always look after them, no matter what happens to you. God will take care of His own. But the question is, have you lived a life whereby your children have really looked at you and see Christ in your life and have brought glory to the Father by believing in Christ themselves? Do not be afraid of your job. God is the one who has given you your job. God is the one who will keep you in your job. No one can take that job away from you without your Father's permission. And how powerful is your Heavenly Father? He is God Almighty, Study the word. The promises are all there. And if you know the word, you know the promises, then when you go to work in the whole company and they are doing excessive retrenchment, if God wants you to be there, you will still be there. Even though you're the only worker and they're doing a retrenchment, the boss will retrench himself. Now, if God wants you to be there, no one can take you away from Him. No one. No one. No one can take you away from the company if it is not with the permission of your Heavenly Father. And if your Heavenly Father says, go, why do you want to stay 1 second longer? Go happily and cheerfully. The problem is, if we are there by our conniving, by our politicking, by all the fear and all the backstabbing, and then you worm your way up in your place, and that's why you become so frightened. Because you have never prayed and asked the Lord for direction. You do not know whether it is God's will for you to be in there or not. You have absolutely no idea. You are no better than the unbeliever because you use the ways of the world. And so when they do all these exercises, you become very frightened. Frightened! Don't have to be afraid when you know your Savior, when you know the Heavenly Father. He cares, He protects, He loves. But you have to study the Word, because when you know the Word, you don't have to be afraid, because the Word is your anchor, the light and the lamp that God has given to His children to guide us in life's pathway. It is never a dark road. It is a road filled with all the lamp that is the Word of God to guide us. Don't have to be afraid when you talk to a charismatic. You know the Word of God. You know why tongues have ceased. You know why there are no more miracles. You know about prophecies. You know about the ministries of apostles and prophets. Know the Word of God. You don't have to be afraid when you talk to them. Know the Word. Don't have to be afraid of a new evangelical when you practice biblical separation. Know why you practice biblical separation. Don't do it because this church practices it, but you do it because you believe that it is the truth. It is what is taught in the Bible, and you follow it. Know it. Know the Word of God. It doesn't come without effort. You have to want to know it, put it as your priority, and ask God to give you the hunger and the thirst and the desire. So that when you meet up with these people, when you meet up a Mormon, when you meet up a Seventh-day Adventist, when you meet a charismatic, when you meet a new evangelical, an ecumenist, anyone, you know from the Bible how to deal with them. Because you know your Word. You know your Father. And so you don't have to be afraid. Don't have to be afraid of this world, what the world has to give to you. Don't have to be afraid. No matter how hard-hitting the world might be, you have the Word of God, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and ever ready shod with the gospel of peace everywhere you go, with the loins girded with the Word of truth. Go out there and be a conquering Christian for Christ. Don't be afraid. Do not dictate to God. That's how you hold on to your faith. Do not be afraid, because you know your Father, you know the Word, you know your Savior. You know the inner working and the empowering of the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't be afraid of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit because the charismatics have distorted it. Study the Bible, know it. Do not need to be afraid. Thirdly and finally, do not labor for the perishables. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that the one wherein the disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. So they followed Jesus, the great multitude. They had tasted the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. They were looking for Jesus. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. They saw that the disciples went into the and where the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 were. They couldn't find him. And then they realized that Jesus has crossed over to the other side. How he crossed over, they did not know. But he was there with the disciples. When they found out, they all hopped into the boats and they all followed the Lord Jesus Christ to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, teacher. They still saw him as a rabbi. That is teacher. That's all. Not as a son of God. Not as God, only as a teacher. When camest thou hither? When did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, because he knows their heart, verily, verily, that is truly, truly, I say unto you, ye continue to seek me, that's present tense, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You did not follow me because you believe in my teaching. You did not follow me because you saw the miracles which authenticate my claims that I am the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. You follow me because of your stomach. You follow me because you are full. You have been given free food. That's why you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, next year's church camp. Everyone who wants to go, free of charge. No need to pay a cent. How many of you will want to go? You go to this nice hotel. God willing, maybe we will go to Awana. That's what Elder Fong shares with us. Maybe. Let's say we are going to Awana. Beautifully renovated. We were there many, many years ago. Now they say that it has been beautifully renovated up in the mountains. FOC. Buffet breakfast, buffet lunch, buffet dinner, everything free. Eat to your heart's content. You go there, come back sure to gain at least 3 kgs. Free everything. How many want to go? Everyone will go, for sure. You'll beg your boss, I must take leave for the church camp. True? Not true. We will go. For the belly, for the food. That's what they did. They followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They are prepared to get into the ship, cross the Sea of Galilee and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew, you follow me because you want free food. Is that not what many of the charismatic pastors are promising their members? Listen to more than 100 messages from the apostle of FCBC, Faith Community Baptist Church. Listen to more than 100 messages from the pastor of The Rock in Suntec City. Listen to about 20-odd messages from our neighbor, Jurong West, City Harvest. Listen to about a handful from the neighbor up north in the Woodlands, Ronnie Tan, Lighthouse Evangelism. Promise health, promise wealth. That's the main thrust of their message. They want your money, and they promise you, you give $10, you get $100. You give $100, you get $1,000. This is the promise. And the sale is so convincing because it all boils down to making the pastor rich. All of you want to be rich? The flow from God's blessing to you is through the head, through the pastors, down through the members. If all of you are poor, because you have kept your pastor poor. If you want yourself to be very rich with a lot of money, you make your pastor rich. That's what they preach from Psalm 133, verse 2. The oil that God said that is to be poured down in Aaron, that flowed down from Aaron's top of his head, flowed down to his beard, all to his garment, right up to the bottom of his garment. The bottom of his garment represents the congregation. The top of the head and his beard represent the pastors. And so the direction of the flow is from the top to the bottom. So you want to be rich? Make your pastors rich. So when am I getting my new car? You don't want to be rich? That's why you make your pastor poor. That's what they have been taught. That's exactly what is taught from the pulpit. I'm not kidding. I heard it myself. I got the tape. I heard it. That's what is happening out there. They follow the Lord Jesus Christ because of their belly, because of their loaves, because they were filled and Jesus rebuked them. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, Jesus told all of them. There are two kinds of prohibition in the Bible. One is continuing in their lives and the prohibition is stop sinning. One is do not start. The other one is stop because you have started. In this case, it is the second. Stop laboring for the meat which perisheth. That means they have already continued to labor, that is, work very hard for the meat that is perishing. Jesus says, stop it. Don't. If any one of us are doing the same, please stop it. do not work so hard for the meat which perishes. Because Singaporeans are very prone to doing that. We work so hard. We toil 8, 9, 10 hours every day. 7 days a week. Toiling for the perishables. Your car will perish. The moment you buy it, the moment you drive it out of the lot, it has started to depreciate. Your houses will be burned up and will be destroyed. All your bank accounts will be taken over by the Antichrist with the 666. All the money, it will be frozen without his number. You cannot buy, you cannot sell. All accounts will be frozen. You think they do not know about your Swiss account? They know everything. They know everything about everybody. They can track you where you are going. There was one morning going to FEBC, something wrong with my card, my cash card. It did not beep in the ERP as it was supposed to. Something went wrong. So after teaching, came back to the church office. I called them up and I explained to them. Something happened. They told me, what's your car number? What time? Where? They could tell me everything about myself. Is this your name? Is this your address? Is this where you were? What time? And so on and so forth. They can track you and they can trace you. They can know everything about you. By just your car registration number, by just your IC number, they can know everything about you. That's the world that we are living in. Do not work so hard for the perishables. When you go to work, don't just work hard for your salary. That's perishable. Work because you are a child of God. Be a testimony for Christ. Army men in the army, be a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Students, study hard for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give your very best. And if you have given your very best and you still get your F's, never mind. Right, parents? Never mind. Pray for them and help them to work harder. Likewise, the adults, you work so hard. Do not work hard for the perishables. Stop it, Jesus says. But work hard. Work hard for the meat that will endure unto everlasting life. That means work out your fear, your salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. Exactly the same word. Labor, work there is the same. Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means work out for the meat that will endure unto everlasting life. Check and make sure that you have the fruit of salvation in your life. We're not talking about how many souls you have led to Christ. That's not the fruit of salvation. The fruit of salvation would be your changed lives, your transformed life. You have been a very angry person. Now you have been able to keep your anger in check. You are more patient. You have meekness. You have humility. You have temperance. We are not talking about some outward show of you smile at me, I smile at you, but inside we are like ravening wolves, roaring lions. We are not talking about angels of light that is the masquerade of Satan. Genuine believers will have the heart of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the love of Christ, the truth of Christ, the justice of Christ. He will think like Christ. He will love like Christ. That's what it means. Check yourself. Look into your own heart, your own soul. Do not take it for granted because I have been promised this by the pastors, by the elders, therefore I will have a place secure in heaven. They can only promise you based upon what God has said, based upon what you have said, that you say you're a Christian. God's promise is this. We cannot read hearts. If you are fooling us by your words, you'll be fooled. You cannot go to heaven and say, but the pastor, the elder promised me I'd be in heaven. God say, I never knew you. The words of the pastor, the words of the elders means nothing. It's not what we think of Christ, but what Christ thinks of us on the day of judgment that matters for all eternity. So work out your own salvation. Please. If your parents are Christians, if your parents are elders, if your parents are pastors, it does not make you a Christian. You have to hold fast to your own belief. Do not dictate to God. Do not be afraid. When you know the word, you don't have to be afraid. When your eyes are on Christ, you don't have to be afraid. And do not labor for the perishables, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Because when you look for the Son of Man will give it to you. For him, that is Jesus, hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do? What might we work? The works of God. Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the work of God. The same word, labor, same word. This is the work of God. That ye believe on him whom God the Father has sent. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and as your Savior? That is how you hold on to your belief. An unconditional surrender to God, no dictation to God. And don't be afraid of life's pathways, what life and Satan can hurl at you. When you know the Word, when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you work hard, when you serve him, do not labor for the perishables. Labor for that which will endure unto eternal life. That is belief in the Lord Jesus Christ from the heart. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, the world is changing. The world around us is changing. And the attack's momentum and its influence. And many have fallen and capitulated by the wayside. We pray, O Lord, each and every one of us for ourselves. For we know that even as we hold on to our faith, it is not the church that holds us in our faith. It is thee and thee alone. And individually, we have our own responsibility to work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. O Lord, may this fear and trembling be found in every heart. Everyone who named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the youngest to the oldest, may the fear of God be in our hearts, which is the beginning of wisdom, that we may know in our heart of hearts, according to the promises of Holy Scriptures, whether we be sons and daughters of the Most High God, or have we been deceiving ourselves? For the day of judgment will reveal all these truths. O Lord our God, be merciful to us. We pray, Father, for some who may be struggling with sin, who may have been attending church week after week, month after month, and year after year, and have yet to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, may thou be merciful to speak to such a one and cause this person to come on humble knees and receive the Lord Jesus Christ unconditionally, that this person may not be afraid of life or death, and that this person may begin to labor for that which is eternal. O Lord, bless everyone this morning for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.